Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 393. We are just hurtling our way towards 400 by trying to have a podcast for every day of the week this week. With me today is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Cannot argue. Have another interview in the can at the current moment. It will take probably a little bit of editing, and we went old school, but local promotion, New Ohio Wrestling, co-promoter Aaron Hallman was on the show, so I will give everyone some heads up that that is coming. Later in the week, I will get this very show out quicker for purposes not all my own. I'd rather have this show posted first. we had a very quick discussion, and I feel like it was an easy discussion to have. The biggest thing on Raw this week would be a good starting point, which would be Samoa Joe doing Triple H's dirty work against Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that definitely was the highlight of the week so far, post Rumble. A very good way to debut Samoa Joe. He looked good. He looked vicious. He was Samoa Joe, and with no, so far nothing. WWE, he hasn't gone through the WWE Superstar Random Generator yet. He's the Joe we've known for a long time. Debuting in a good spot. I got nothing bad to say about that part of this whole angle.
That was one that Jeremy and I were discussing a little bit earlier today. I'm like, why did I not see this coming? it was kind of funny. I'm like, I really should have seen this coming. This was pretty obvious. Because of the NXT invasion angle from Seth Rollins, everyone thought, they're like, oh, Samoa Joe definitely going to be in the Royal Rumble. Doesn't show up in the Royal Rumble. And Triple H even kind of telegraphs it a little bit mention? Oh, he didn't want to get his hands dirty a couple of different times.
Yeah.
In his promo. It's one of those things where it's just like, when you look back on it, you go, oh, yeah, I should have seen that coming. kind of missed a couple of signals there, in my opinion. But, it was a great spot for him to debut in. The only thing that wasn't great was the crowd reaction.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was going to happen. We're in that time period where, when something big happens, something unexpected happens, people are just going to cheer it. It's that there was nothing that was going to be done to stop that from happening.
It's been a problem with for Seth Rollins for a while at this point.
Oh, Seth Rollins. Oh, he was awful. I mean, what a terrible babyface all night long. I mean, I still don't know what he was going to do if he went to Triple H's house and a 10-year-old girl answered the door.
That was one where I'm like, why is the babyface saying this?
Yeah, I mean, and then later in the night, he just lets Triple H drone on and on and on and on and waits for him to be called out. Yeah. These last few days did not do Seth. This last week has not done Seth any favors. Actually, the way he's been presented since this whole thing has not done him any favors. He's done nothing but whine and cry and jump people from behind
and invade shows that you're not supposed to be in and ruin them.
Yeah.
even though everyone did pop for it.
Seth Rollins may be the first babyface who's ever actually been physically removed from a building by security. Like, the jobber security force, he wasn't able to fight them all off. No. They did overwhelm him and force him out of the building.
Well, and not only that, I made this side comment on Twitter Sunday night. This is the first time, especially at a pay-per-view, where someone was banned from the building, and somehow Seth Rollins couldn't find his way back in. Like, it was one of those things that I suppose I did forget about it in the moment, but I started thinking, like, after Orton won, I'm like, holy shit, Seth Rollins never showed up.
Yeah, no, he was not. He did not make it. I mean,
the conspiracy theorist is going to say
that they are doing this on purpose so that Triple H gets cheered at WrestleMania. But other than that, there really is no logical explanation for what the way Seth has been booked. It's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Seth Rollins can be a good babyface or not.
I mean, I thought he had the potential to be. I really thought that he had the potential to be everything that Roman Reigns wasn't. But in the end, it's just there.
Somehow they booked him even worse than Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, he's the creative has done nothing for him. His own delivery is naturally smarmy. I think.
So, I agree.
So yeah, this is not. I mean, he wrestles the same. He wrestles the same either way. I mean, I don't think his in-ring style really, has changed from heel to babyface at all. But
right.
So, there's just nothing. It's like that Randy Orton turn in 2004. He didn't turn. His friends turned on him. He did nothing. He did nothing gallant or brave. Why should people cheer him?
Because his friends turned on him.
Yeah.
Duh. Or at least that was the WWE's point of view.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to cheer for a guy who really isn't doing himself any favors or, and no one was like wanting for him to be a baby face.
I'll disagree with that. People wanted it when he came back. But then they wishy-washied it for months. And now we're here.
Oh, you mean Rollins. I guess I was referring to Orton.
Oh, okay. No. Oh, yeah. Orton? Oh, yeah. No. No one wanted that. No. There was no...
So...
No one's ready for that.
Yeah, they doubled down on a problem that they shouldn't have anyway with Randy Orton. But Seth Rollins, they did have it. And like you said, like it was, well, actually it reminded me of Orton right before, when he turned back over, when he went with the Authority for 2 months and then ended up fighting them at WrestleMania. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. That was rough, but I think in the end that all worked out. But yeah, no, this is, they got a lot of work to do with Seth and Triple H, and I don't know if Triple H isn't, purposely playing for the cheers. That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think he is, but damn, man, it is really not good. Like, just the way this angle's coming off, like, I don't know why, like, it's one of those things that they're like, oh, open door policy, everyone gets to talk. Like, I can't believe nobody says, hey, Seth, you really shouldn't threaten, you know, children in your promo. Like, who, like, if a writer writes that, how do you not go, man, that's going to be really awful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you go, oh, this is getting really personal. Like, I know that they have some time and they maybe don't want to get into all the material right now, but man, that is not the, just in any way, the right material.
Yeah, no, and that made it through so many people that ended up to make it on the air.
Yeah.
How does, I have no clue how that happens, and I mean, very few heels have ever gone to that length. I mean, that's all we had. I don't think I think of is Eddie Guerrero when he was feuding with Rey Mysterio. You know, went there. You know, but I really can't think of very many. I think maybe during the whole, maybe I'm trying to think in TNA. They maybe it was something about Kid going after something with kids. Maybe
well,
Kurt Angle feuding with Jeff Jarrett, but.
Oh yeah, because
it's not even something that, that you know, bringing children isn't even something a heel should ever do.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing that that the problem is that I understand what Triple H did wrong, but the feud doesn't feel like it needs that. It's to that level of anger, even. That Seth Rollins is presenting with that type of threat. Like, it's... I know that he got screwed out of the Universal Championship. But they've still downplayed it for long enough. I mean, I know that Seth has made kind of... has kind of worked his way into being this angry. I mean, I know that there's been some stuff on TV for it, pointing in that direction, at least, but it still doesn't feel personal enough to me, and I don't know if it's because Triple H hasn't been on there, and yeah, Stephanie's been a terrible surrogate for Triple H in that regard.
It's a huge part of it. Triple H not being on TV for months and months and months. The heat transferring over to, you know, to Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins and Seth Rollins continuously failing to beat, and Triple H was nowhere to be seen. Yes, of course Jericho interfered in those matches, but you know, why wasn't Triple H so worried about Rollins winning the title from Kevin Owens again that he didn't show up again? What you know, the months where this whole thing went cold, it definitely hurt.
Yeah, so I mean, that's I guess just the other part, like the tone to me of his message as much as anything. Like, it's just like, it doesn't feel like it's a personal enough feud. Like, at least with the other one that you cited, Ray versus Eddie, like, you knew that they knew each other's families, they'd kind of always talked about it. So, like, going there gave it a personal feeling, like, you know, like, I think they're families were friends, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I mean,
so it made it more of, you know, like visceral, and I can kind of understand going there in that situation.
Yeah,
but
I mean, that's something that can never be done. I mean, I was comfortable with it. I mean, obviously, I mean the scene in the park where Eddie, you know, had Ray's son, you know. Basically sitting in his lap, because it was creepy, it was weird, but you know, it's good in that respect. And obviously, one of the famous ones involving kids was CM Punk confronting Rey Mysterio in front of his children. That was a great segment. But yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with this one. What would he have done? It just didn't make any. Yeah, this is they got a lot of work to do with this. And although, thankfully, with Joe acting as Triple H's muscle for the next, you know, four weeks or so, they at least can do something good with it. I mean, at least it'll be an excellent match at Fastlane.
That is kind of the other funny thing, is that everything will turn out just fine. Match wise, like Seth Rollins against Samoa Joe, sure, I'll take it. Arguing.
Although, you know, since Triple H and Seth Rollins is definitely it's the end game in WrestleMania. Right. I don't know where that leaves Joe going into WrestleMania.
Right.
I'm not sure who's left for him to be married to. But we shall see. I'm sure they'll cross that bridge when they get to it.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine he might have one of those shorter matches at WrestleMania. would not shock me. Anyway, enough for the future booking. We like to stick to the review portion of things here. I guess I'm trying to think of what other big ticket items were on Raw, because you did have Braun Strowman taking on Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship.
Yeah, it was a title match. It was Braun Strowman's first title match. It was what you expect it would be. It was fine. Wasn't very long. You know, Braun Strowman pretty much dominated, other than a few moments, which is what it should have been. And then, you know, Roman Reigns attacked, you know, Strowman, and gives a parting shot to Kevin Owens for good measure. Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I mean, it looks like we're going towards, you know, Reigns and Strowman at Fastlane.
Right.
Because it seems like they have different plans for both at WrestleMania. I mean, it definitely looks like Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker is in the cards for WrestleMania, which, you know, things could change, or maybe it's not, but it certainly looks that way.
I mean, I guess it'd be interesting if Braun Strowman is the entry card for Roman Reigns to take on The Undertaker's big streak, or not quite streak. In WrestleMania.
It'd be unfortunate to me if they cut Braun Strowman's legs off going in, you know, before WrestleMania, just to feed Roman Reigns some more. That would disappoint me, because they've done such a great job with him. He's doing well with what he has. He's getting better every week. I feel like, you know, cutting him off at Fastlane would be too premature. Once again, one of those things, I don't necessarily see a direct path for Strowman to have something big at WrestleMania, but we're going to see. I really like where they're going, and of course, Jeremy really, really, really likes where they're going with Strowman. So I hope they don't cut him off.
I agree. That's why, and we kind of mentioned it in that first one. Samoa Joe's kind of the same spot, like. You kind of expect that he's going to lose, but they've got to kind of do it in the right way to not damage what they should hopefully do. With Strowman, they have been doing it, though, so hopefully they don't throw it all away just to use him as fodder. That would make me kind of angry.
Right.
But, yeah, because, I mean, you mentioned that WrestleMania card match. One, I would be completely... It would be the most shocking thing to me ever in wrestling if Goldberg versus Lesnar did not happen at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, that's been telegraphed. Obviously, the challenge was made. I mean, they are definitely taking a unique path to get there. I thought that maybe that they would have Goldberg eliminate Lesnar quickly, but I didn't think that they would. I didn't think that's the direction they were going to go with it. I thought, you know, at some point they were going to both go tumbling over the top rope at the same time together while they were fighting, and then instead fight all the way to the back. One of those deals, but yeah, no, I mean, they're going all in on this idea that, you know, Goldberg is Brock Lesnar's kryptonite. I mean, he's his yeah, but as Paul Heyman, you know, brilliantly laid out, that was a good promo there. I mean, they are risking Brock. They're definitely risking Brock looking weak. You know, granted, they needed to do something for a while because Brock had been sleepwalking through most of his 2016. Pretty, you know. Yeah, I don't think anyone could argue that. Hell, on the Stone Cold podcast, Dean Ambrose came right out and said that Brock Lesnar was lazy at WrestleMania. So it was definitely needed something, but yeah.
Yeah.
They you know, they've set up something. They're trying to go with a more meta story, I guess I would say, with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg, and, you know, getting pretty deep with it. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar have issued the challenge. Brock Goldberg's supposed to be there on Monday. I mean, an interesting note is Goldberg is scheduled to wrestle at Fastlane. And speculation is that, you know, they may very well go with Goldberg versus Kevin Owens at Fastlane. Huh. And Goldberg could end it. So Goldberg could conceivably go into WrestleMania as the champion against Brock Lesnar. That's out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did discuss that there is plenty of time for that belt to change hands.
Right. I have not expected Kevin Owens to make it to WrestleMania was still the champion. And if Goldberg versus Lesnar is going to be the big match anyway, yeah, I guess maybe you might as well have the title be at stake.
yeah. Why not? You know, always helps to have Goldberg Lesnar to have the title. I don't know if that's a motivational tool in their arsenal for him.
Right, but they still need to connect the dots if that is the plan, or, you know, plans change or what have you with Goldberg's appearance on Monday. But yeah, as far as if you look on the go on your WWE app or and look in at the event page for the live event page for Fastlane, I mean, Goldberg's there. I mean, he's been advertised locally for a while now in Milwaukee.
Yeah, so yeah, hey, good for them. If you didn't go to that show, I'd call you kind of a dummy. It's probably the last time that you're going to see Goldberg, and definitely in a setting that small.
Right. I mean, well, I'll be in attendance in Green Bay on the 27th, where a show I'm sure Goldberg will be at. Not sticking around Wisconsin for an extra week to go to Fastlane.
understandable.
Yeah, it's still a 2-hour drive each way between Green Bay and Milwaukee.
Oh,
right, family.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's still a pretty sizable drive. I mean,
yeah, and especially in winter.
What? I'm sure it's nice and, you know, completely not snowy up there.
No. Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Yeah. It's going to be 70s and sunny. In early March in Wisconsin.
Were things, I guess, any sunnier? Because I feel like those were the big Raw topics. Were there any other topics on Raw before we move on to the Smack of Downs? Because the ladies don't seem to have a direction quite yet.
No, I mean, well, we can talk about that a little bit. I mean, obviously, I was not a fan of the sixth person. I mean, Bayley and Charlotte have a 15. I know it's the way they do things with these tag matches where the champion gets pinned, but Bayley fails for 15 minutes in a singles match to hit her big move and to beat Charlotte, and then and Raw, she does it in 30 seconds. It just there was a disconnect for me on that one.
Yeah.
And then you know they're crossing Bayley over into the Sasha Nia Jax storyline. You know, it was an interesting line from Sasha saying, you know, that she's not, you know, what was it, second best, or she's not settling or something like that.
Right.
Exactly. You know, which is obviously a direct dig at Bayley, who's just trying to be your friend. You know, Sasha gets destroyed by Nia Jax again. Bayley comes down, but only tells Nia, get off of her. Doesn't actually physically do anything. Of course, they're trying to play that, you know, the other women are afraid of Nia, which is fine. And then there's the behind the backstage segment with Bayley and the trainer with Sasha, but Sasha can't even look at Bayley. She is in no way thankful for Bayley's help. So yeah, I mean, we're setting up a four-way, either at Fastlane or at WrestleMania. That's definitely coming.
Oh. Yeah, why did I don't know. Those dots should have been connected by yours truly.
Sorry.
You know, I told Jeremy, he said something about Sasha going heel, and I'm just like, dude, like, they're all of their females are heels right now. Like, if Banks goes, that leaves Bayley as your lone baby face on Raw.
You could make that work. Bayley against the world. why not?
Okay. Well, I guess if they want to go with that, they could.
I guess you could turn Charlotte, you know, after maybe a little bit more time.
Yeah, I guess I just thought with Charlotte, Nia Jax, and then Sasha Banks and Bayley. I was like, man, those cards are really stacked in one direction.
Right, no, maybe it won't necessarily happen like that, but yeah, they're definitely teasing tension with Sasha and Bayley. It's not this friendship's not going to be smooth sailing from here on in.
Correct.
It never really has.
Felt always, smooth.
The friendship once again is always been more one way.
Yeah, it's felt a little lopsided. Lopsided.
They've done subtle things for months, but where Sasha's just, yeah, she only cares about the title.
Yeah. Yeah, but I guess that maybe you could say that WWE's holding back Sasha just because she's getting the cheers. And that's really almost more of a problem for her than it is for Bayley, you know, writing wise.
Right.
Yeah. So, as usual, the ladies on Raw always always are a little convoluted. The ladies on SmackDown, on the other hand, on the straight and narrow, you can understand everything that's going on.
Right, yeah, no, everything is pretty simple with the women on SmackDown. They've got three separate women's feuds going on now. Oh, of course, granted, they can commingle them whenever they want, but, you know, and I think, you know, there's a very good chance this Elimination Chamber show could feature up to three singles women's matches.
Oh, I mean, it's certainly starting to go that way. At worst, one will be on the pre-show and
Right.
two will be on the main card. But still, that is a significant chunk of your television or pay-per-view time.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki and Natalya is already official. Naomi and Alexa Bliss is guaranteed going to be, and then it's just if you do, what you do with Mickie James and Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine, like, well, I'm kind of, well, actually, I won't do that. I won't free. I won't free think my, elimination chamber card. But they did, good basic stuff tonight.
Oh,
Especially once
yeah.
again, in front of a lot, in front of the larger audience, they made sure to have Naomi pin Alexa Bliss clean again. I mean, not a lot of people, but probably tuned in before 6 p.m. Eastern to watch that six person on the pre-show, and the building wasn't even, fans weren't even in there, and weren't
And
even in
yeah,
their seats
half the
yet.
people weren't in, more than half the people weren't in seats yet.
It was good to do it in front of the larger television audience to have that pinfall there too. And I like Naomi. She was really not really on point with everything. Unfortunately, Alexa Bliss, she wasn't as good as she usually is. Some of her key moves that she,
Oh.
I mean, once again, I hate criticizing work because God knows I'd fall over my mouth, fall flat on my face out there all the time. But yeah, some of the like those the gym flip, into the knees, into the double knees, and those, missed by a mile. Yeah, it just
Yeah.
wasn't the best night for Alexa Bliss. Actually, it wasn't. The match itself was, came together better after the commercial break.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I guess to me that she's still, pretty young as far as wrestling experience goes. And at this point it's just been an off night. I mean, what like it's one of those things that you note and you kind of move along. Like if it keeps on happening, then it becomes a problem, but it really hasn't been a problem.
Right, no.
Overall.
After the break, the match settled down. The veteran Mickie James, I think, kind of took control a little bit, and got the match on track, and everything. When Naomi got the hot tag from Becky, everything she did looked great. And once again, she'll be a fine, challenger of the month. I don't expect her to win, but it'll be fine for what they for what they need to get through Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah. And that's I mean, I kind of feel bad for Naomi if she tries and fails again. But I just don't feel like Bliss has kind of had the title long enough for them. They tend not to play hot potato with most of their titles these days. You
Right,
know?
no. We'll talk about that later. But no. I see. Once again, I'm pretty sure Alexa Bliss is going to go into WrestleMania champion, whether they do a multi-way match of their own, or if it's just Alexa Bliss versus Nikki Bella, who they've purposely kept away from the women's championship scene for a while, or if Becky Lynch books her way, or what have you. But yeah, I they're certainly all in on, my minute criticisms aside. I mean, I like Alexa Bliss a lot. They're definitely all in on her.
Oh, right. Yeah, because yeah. So yeah, I mean that scene is pretty interesting there on the Smack of Downs. What else stood out to you on the show?
I mean, the we're heading towards the Elimination Chamber. We got all the names in there. They did And, you know, I like the tag match. I like the Cena, the Carper versus, you know, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt match. I thought that was a good match, a good way to open the show. The interplay with everyone, with, you know, Luke Harper obviously just wanting to destroy Randy Orton, but, you know, being hesitant in the ring with Bray. I thought that was played off really well, so it match somewhat turned into a handicap match against Cena until, you know, Harper manned up and started, you know, but still never really did much to Bray Wyatt, and, you know, match ending with Randy Orton pinning John Cena, and then the announcement that for the first time ever on SmackDown Live, I cannot believe that they would ever even attach the words first time ever to a match between John Cena and Randy Orton. But my God, they have. John Cena versus Randy Orton next week on SmackDown. Couldn't telegraph it anymore that this will not be the main event of WrestleMania.
And then
we get back to your point about not hot potatoing with the titles. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen here. I mean, they obviously felt for what their plans are, they needed to get that win. John Cena needed that win over AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble, you know, and only to lose it 2 weeks later. That's just where we're at here. Personally, yeah. I would have said that, you know what? Let's just stretch. I wouldn't have done the match at the Royal Rumble and just stretched it with Cena Styles out to WrestleMania, but they obviously have a different idea, and it involves Randy Orton. And I'm going to guess, or not really guess, because it's the newsletter speculations out there already. A lot of our listeners have already, you know, heard, you know. I'm pretty sure Bray Wyatt's taking this one. That's the story. That's the interesting story. I guess you could go back to AJ Styles, and AJ Styles and Randy Orton would have an absolutely tremendous match. I mean, but I'm thinking Bray Wyatt's got this one.
Because it has been pretty interesting. I mean, Wyatt has been around a long time. They've put him in prominent spots, but he has not ever gone after the title.
Right? No. He hasn't. You know, he hasn't. And, you know, you could definitely tell an interesting story, you know, building to Wyatt and versus Orton, you know, maybe involving, you know, somehow also involving, you know, Harper as well. There's things you could definitely do. Although, once again, when it comes to the match itself, I mean, title or no title, I mean, I think they're going to do Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania no matter what. But
right.
I still go back to their No Mercy, you know, quote-unquote main event, and that wasn't any good. So they got a lot of work to do as far as, you know, getting their matchup to WrestleMania standards.
I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, I just don't think that match quality-wise you get a whole lot better than Cena versus Styles.
No, you do not. I mean, they really blew their wad, you know, with what might end up being the WWE Match of the Year in January. Granted, I guess you could say New Japan does the same thing, but I think New Japan has a better chance with what they could have for the rest of the year here to, you know, to come close to that, at least. Whereas, the WrestleMania speculated card is out there, you know, right. Any of the news sites, you can see it, you know, won't put too much into it because we don't really do that much of this, you know, quote unquote spoilers here, but I've heard enough to be, yeah, of what, you know, they're thinking to be concerned about match quality. Yeah. You know,
right.
All the big boys, you know, colliding. That's fun to build the Royal Rumble around. But we're gonna have three or four matches where it's, you know, lumbering giant versus lumbering giant, or, you know, big guy versus big guy power matches. That could be excessive.
Yeah.
And
it could be.
Appear, there doesn't appear to be that John Cena, AJ Styles quality match. Now, granted, once again, things could change, some matches could surprise you. But on paper, once again, I'm saying it for a while, it's going to be the most star power heavy WrestleMania in years is just how they put all the pieces together.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, the star power that they'll have for this one, and it, doesn't include The Rock, who always seems to, at least find his way into the building.
Yeah, I'm sure he has every intention of being there. You know, once again, he's usually just does his own self-contained segment. He doesn't really do much. He picks out who he wants to, you know, co-star with him in his segment, and, you know,
they gladly accept.
Writes himself with his team, and just goes out there to amuse himself. I mean, which is fine, because he usually amuses everyone else too, so that'll be good.
Right.
I imagine sometime shortly the, you know, hype for Big Show versus Shaq will hit into, you know, high gear, and obviously we're already figuring out where everyone else lands. But yeah, what I am very concerned about, though, and this is going to be, you know, what matches are going to be good, what matches aren't, you know, what have you. AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, The Miz. Three guys who have been carrying SmackDown for months now. I don't know if they're going to have prominent positions at WrestleMania. And if they don't, that is bullshit.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. Jeremy's like, ah, oh, man, kind of wish I was going to Orlando now. And I'm like, man, this card looks terrible. And, and you know what? I was thinking about the card itself. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that, those three guys will, unless they have something to do with each other, will not have a whole lot to do.
Right. I mean, the AJ Styles, Shane McMahon rumors are out there. I mean, on one hand, it's not a good match for AJ Styles, or at least not one that he isn't going to have to completely carry. But at least anything a man and McMahon involved in is considered prominent. So he could have that going for him. And Ambrose and Miz, I really don't see it. They've been, you know, 2 years in a row, the Intercontinental title was up in a ladder match, so that may very well be the direction again for the Intercontinental title and champion Dean Ambrose. Cena's going to be going, what, sixth or seventh from the top if he's not going as the champion?
Yeah. Again, it's a crazy deep show, and you know, Cena's kind of backed off anyway the last couple of years. Like, I don't feel like he's really been in a prominent spot at a WrestleMania in quite a while.
I mean, prominent being the, you know, top three, four matches. Yeah. He's been in there, but, you know, as far as the main event or, you know, the big selling point, no, not since Rock Cena 2.
Oh.
That's going on 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 4 years since they've been trying to, you know, to phase Cena out of the championship picture until Sunday. And he's going to be quickly phased out of it. So no, I think they made a huge mistake not running with Cena versus Styles to WrestleMania. I know Cena may not be around much, you know, in the spring, but you could have gotten it off of him, you know, at some point quicker after Russell.
As long as the
big moment and the big match happened in Russell.
The Rock was filming segments, you know, on set to air. And I would imagine that John Cena would have some type of free time to be able to record something. Michael Cole recorded this earlier on Skype just so they can get one of their sponsors out there. What the fuck, you know? You know, I feel like they should be able to do something in that regard. But you know, will they? Probably not.
No. Yeah, so no. They're going in the direction that they're going to go in. Now, granted, once again, Vince McMahon could wake up in a cold sweat at 3 o'clock in the morning tonight and change everything. But as of right now, I'm not enamored with the speculation that's out there. Let's just say that.
Yeah, again, I agree. Like, I'm good with my choice to bail on Orlando this year.
Yeah, no. I'm not regretting it at all.
So, I guess I'm trying to think of, 'cause Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles did have a match on SmackDown Live
Yeah,
here.
they. I mean, I guess the match was fine. There was obviously a lot going on there, including the Miz eating Baron Corbin for lunch on commentary.
Because I was doing said interview,
Yeah.
I did not hear this happening, but you can tell the people at home, this is the look of shock and surprise on my face.
He's shocked and surprised, folks. Yeah. I mean, they made the mistake of having Baron Corbin trying to joust with the Miz in a less scripted environment, and it was not pretty. You know, again, Miz is proving why he had a career year in 2016, and he's carrying it over in 2017. So I did like that. You know, again, Styles and Ambrose had their usual good match.
Yeah.
Nothing. With all the distractions, it didn't have the chance to really be a great match, to be a great match.
Yeah.
But no, once again, and
It
but
served its purpose.
it served its purpose, and I was almost expecting after months of, you know, AJ beating Ambrose that they were just going to start having they were ahead, you know. AJ was going to go on that, you know, post-title loss jobbing tour where he's short. Where he loses to everyone he beat on the way down, he loses to everyone he beat on the way up. But they didn't
Right.
do that. AJ Styles did get the win over Dean Ambrose. So for this week, AJ Styles is still positioned higher than the Intercontinental champ.
Oh, yeah. So
Which is
that's
fine. I'm not gonna knock him at me. He at least should be.
as much as I like the Dean of Ambrose's, I would agree with that sentiment wholeheartedly. And I'm trying to think of if there was anything else on the on SmackDown there that that was a big talking point. Oh my God. That tag team match on SmackDown, I guess I just feel I need to say this. Again, listening to it without sound, that just looked like a train wreck coming down the chute, that tag
Oh,
team turmoil or
that didn't look
whatever it
like a
was.
shoot. I mean, it was a train wreck. Most of those teams aren't any good, except for American Alpha and the Usos. And I mean, I guess Heath Slater and Rhino are fine, but I guess in the ring, I guess only the Ascension and the Vaudevillains are I would describe as, you know, not good at all, but yeah, it just was it was a clusterfuck. Now, I did like that when American Alpha issued an open challenge, everyone answered. That
Oh.
made sense. That part did make sense. But yeah, everything that happened after that, yeah, that was rough. They need, you know, they need to bring up the revival of SmackDown, definitely.
Oh.
For Jordan to be able to face.
Yeah.
Yes, SmackDown. Then again, I mean, the tag teams were the most hurt by this. There's just not enough quality tag teams to have two tag team divisions. You know, one on each show.
Yeah, there's still, even though SmackDown, has done a marginally better job, they still are, just kind of short, you know, like two teams.
Yeah. I mean,
they have six teams,
which I think might be more than Raw has at this point.
Oh, that's right. They do have six teams.
But.
Because they had them all in this match. But
three of them are Ascension, the Vaudevillains, and Breezango. And then the Slater Rhino Act, which is past his expiration date. So you really only have the American Alpha and the Usos.
Yeah, the outfits that Breezango were wearing, like, I know that they've kind of been moving towards something like that, but I'm like, oh my god, man. Like, it's one of those ones that,
I mean, it's not
I don't know if they need more TV time, but,
I don't think so. I mean, I don't get their act. It's not that fun. It may have been, the Fashion Police thing may have been funny once. It's a joke that wore out quickly. I mean, and it's not like Raw doesn't have the issue with tag teams. I mean, the scorched earth, you know, style that they did with the New Day for over a year has definitely hurt the Raw tag team division and yeah. Everyone else being taken seriously, including the New Day now.
Oh.
Maybe the New Day could use to go over to SmackDown and just have their run all over again. in a new environment with new teams.
They could try.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll happen, but because they still haven't really, I mean, I guess that's kind of interesting. They've only kind of hinted at the trade once when Sami Zayn got all pissed off.
Yeah, they haven't really done anything with that. I mean, I don't imagine that they'll, you know, back in the day, the WWE draft, the draft was an annual thing, but you wouldn't do that again until July, so yeah, I guess these rosters are stuck, and it's just, you know, bringing people up from it. Yeah, once again, I hope when they want to bring up, if they bring up the Revival and DIY, I do hope that they end up on, they both end up on SmackDown, or at least one does.
Yeah, I would hope one of them makes it onto SmackDown. I guess if you want someone to oppose American Alpha, the Revival would be the more logical choice.
Yeah.
And there's a heel tag team champion over on Raw with Anderson and Gallows at the current moment. So, you know, having baby faces on that side would, if it's happening right now, it would make sense. But who knows if it's going to happen right now.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I have my doubts that either tag team championship match will make their way onto the main show at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, they should be of sufficient quality, but they've still, the tag team divisions in general have been still lacking a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that to me, because I did run through SmackDown here. I mean, there really wasn't much else that we haven't covered, and that's worth covering, at least in my opinion.
I think we did a pretty thorough job.
So I guess I will wrap things up here then. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny, as usual. Rate and review us on iTunes if you can, or on SoundCloud. It helps. So, yeah, there's that. Have a good night.
Later.